strength of an oak with roots deep in the ground. The wonder of flowers to be covered and then to burst up through tarmac to the sun again. Or to fly to the sun without burning a wing. To lie in a meadow and hear the grass sing. To have all these things in our memories haunt. And they use them to help us to
listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from March 27th, 2002.
Again, I will call your attention to these so that you might assess them yourselves. There is what I consider to be a very defamatory article about Father Malachi Martin. You can get to it by going to my website, clicking up on news and other websites, and then have a read yourself and see what you think. You have to wonder why only after his death would an article of this sort be printed. Now, there's a at the top of the hour, it's going to be very interesting. You may remember the rocket guy, Brian Walker, who plans to launch himself 30 miles straight up in a rocket of his own design. And, of course, we've got photographs of that rocket, and we're going to get an update because we're getting close to what was the first launch date. Now, I think that may be pushed back. I'm not sure. We'll ask a little bit, but it's getting very, very close, and I'm going to go up there and watch this launch. There is no question about it. We're going to open lines here in a second, but just very quickly, from Albuquerque, New Mexico, make way for the ultimate high-rise project, the Space Elevator. Here we go again. Long viewed as science fiction imagineering, researchers are gathering momentum in their pursuit to propel this uplifting concept into actuality. Still, the mental picture needed to grasp the elevator to space idea, well, you can't be weak of mind. Forget the roar of rocketry and those bone-jarring liftoffs like Rocket Man's going to experience. The elevator would be a nice, smooth, 62,000-mile ride up a long cable. Payloads can shimmy up the Earth-to-space cable, experiencing no launch forces whatsoever, slowly climbing from one atmosphere right straight up into a vacuum. Earth orbit, the Moon, Mars, Venus, the asteroids, and all beyond are routinely accessible via the space elevator. And for all its promise and grandeur, this mega project is made practical by the tiniest of technologies now, carbon nanotubes. Seen as an engineering undertaking for the opening decades of the 21st century, the space elevator proposal was highlighted here during the 2002 Space and Robotics Convention held March 17th through the 21st, sponsored by the Aerospace Division of the American Society of Civil Engineers. Well, 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 think about that. They're really serious about this. An actual elevator that would go from Earth, from ground, into space, and would take you there slowly without any rockets or anything else. And these people are saying, these people are saying it is really could be. Now, how it, you know, the engineering of that and the physics behind that totally escape me. But the concept is absolutely incredible. take an elevator to space. I remember the Empire State Building. I've been up in that elevator enough times, and that's a thrill, but my gosh almighty, 62,000 miles. Yay, yay, yay. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Didn't someone once sing about a highway to heaven? Aught,
a stairway to heaven, yeah.
Aught greetings from the nation's first capital.
New York, eh?
The Big Apple, New York City.
Yes,
you know, if General George Washington was around, he would say, boys, when the smoke clears, we're going to be in the oil business. You know, it's no longer an immigration issue. It's a national security issue. The illegal invaders must be deported. You know, Art, Flight 587 that crashed into Rockaway, New York, there are witnesses who saw that jet blow up, and those witnesses all have the same account. They saw a small explosion by the wing, followed by a big explosion.
I could not agree more with you that I don't feel like we've been told the whole story on that aircraft.
Right, because... You know,
at all.
You're right, and the government will say, well, it doesn't look like terrorism. But look, anybody with any common sense knows that until a full investigation takes place, you don't know what exactly happened, so you can't say either way. But if they're trying to put this out that it wasn't terrorism, because obviously they don't want the commercial airline industry to be shut down.
Look, the commercial you know, as a result of this 9/11 thing, the U.S. Postal Service is suffering horrendously. Of course, what occurred there in New York and all the repercussions of that to our entire economy. And, you know, the whole thing is strictly a national security issue. So I can't sit here and tell you that if I were sitting around some big oak table with a bunch of intel type guys and we were deciding what to do, let's just, you know, for the sake of discussion, say it was they know absolutely it was terrorism. I'm not sure the right thing for national security would be to say so. What do you think?
Well, I think you got to come clean with the American people, because then you're putting other people at risk. Look at the sneaker bomber. Is that what America's come to, where we have three flight attendants fighting with that lunatic on that jet coming from France,
yeah,
even though the day before they threw him off the jet, if you remember?
The whole thing, yes, I do. The whole thing is madness. Listen to me now, and I'm going to say this again. You know, even though I'm like everybody else, I want to know. I sure as hell want to know what the truth is. I also see the other side of it. If you were trying to act in the best interest of our nation, and you had already observed the horrendous impact on the economy in this country from 9/11, the psyche of the American people because of 9/11, the worldwide repercussions because of 9/11, the war because of 9/11, in other words, these are world-shaking events, and the American people were beginning to get frightened. Kind of a combination of first shock, then, I guess, anger and fright. And so would you pile on, if you knew something had been a terrorist action, and you didn't have to say so, would you pile on? And would you slam the economy harder and scare the you-know-what out of everybody, or would you perhaps hold that information close to your chest until you had irrefutable evidence? Or even if you had irrefutable evidence, there might be a national security issue there. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, I was listening to your program last night, and I just think we're getting a totally monolithic, one-sided view of post-9/11 events, and there's former CIA officials like Ralph McGahee, David McMichael, and others who got so disgusted with the kind of propaganda they were ordered by their superiors to plant in various media outlets to frame up various countries for attack that they left the agency and set up magazines like Covert Action and others. And I think we're being subjected to the same type of thing. Listening last night, I couldn't believe the kindergarten simplistic ultra-right ravings, bellicose ravings of the guests last night. And if we consider the manipulations towards building
actually, sir, listen to me. He's not really ultra-right at all. It's just that what he believes about the God part of the brain And now apparently our self-destructive wiring. He is, you know, he is very, I told him right on the air, he's very narrow-minded. He is very narrow-minded. And he is nevertheless, for me, a very intellectually stimulating in terms of getting into it with him. And I really enjoy that. I think he's dead wrong on a couple of things and maybe right on a couple of others. And so do other very well-educated people like Professor Kaku. They think he's a very interesting person, and he is. Stubborn, single-minded, macro-minded even, but extremely interesting to intellectually spar with. No question about that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. No, if you push the button now you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, I'm Ethan. I'm from Kentucky.
Yes, Ethan.
First thing I wanted to tell you is, well, I have something for you. My granduncle he claimed that he had alien abductions multiple times in his life, and he passed away a few weeks ago, and he left me, I inherited something from him that I'd rather tell you off the line later or something.
Well, everybody's always wanting to tell me offline. Just give me a general description right here, would you please? I try to keep everything as much as I'm able out in front of the audience, you know?
I'd say it's smoking gun evidence of JFK shot.
Well, we know that JFK was shot, sir.
No, but it's a different view. It shows the driver.
Yeah, this has been going around for a long time. The driver turning around and shooting the president, is that what you say?
Yeah.
Man, that's real old stuff, sir. Real,
yeah.
Real old stuff.
Well, okay. Well, the other thing I wanted to talk about was...
Yes.
I had the question I wanted to ask you is the Tenth Planet stuff of I've heard about. I've heard it's supposedly a comet. I've heard it's a planet. I've heard it's a brown dwarf. And I've heard it's supposed to come anywhere from 5 years to next year. And I've tried to do research on it. I found all these different things. I wanted to know what you knew about it. Has it been caught on telescope? I mean,
there's a big abcnews.com story, which I've had on the website forever now, about something out there that does indeed look like it could be either a dead 10th planet or even a sort of a dead sun. So the answer to your question is yes, there's a great deal of information out there about the possibility of a 10th planet that would seem to coincide, you know, with what a lot of people like Sitchin and Hazelwood and others are saying. In other words, there's mainstream backing for it, but we don't know much beyond that right now. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
This is Steve from Tucson.
Yes, Steve.
Yeah, well, I'm going to get to my point in a second, but regarding that 10th planet you were just talking about,
yes.
I'm an astronomer. You wouldn't happen to have any declination or
dimension
coordinates,
absolutely would not. No.
Well, when you get them, please put them on the air.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The main reason I called, I don't know how to start. Last night I was coming home from Phoenix with a buddy of mine.
Right.
And it's about 1 o'clock in the morning. And I'm, you know, I've listened to your show a lot, and I hear all the people calling and talking about UFOs and all this. And
right.
I thought I saw something maybe 5 years ago, but I didn't know what it was. But this, last night, I was coming down I-10, right down...
Sounds like your worldview changed last night.
Yeah. Me and my friends.
Yes?
We were coming down I-10 at about milepost 178. There was an object in the field... to the right of us, to the west of the freeway.
Yes.
It was flying above the field, maybe at an altitude of about 10 feet. I mean, I'm surprised it wasn't mowing down saguaro cactus. It was so low.
Wow.
There was, and it was coming towards the highway.
Well, describe the object.
Triangular.
Oh.
Three very bright white lights on the bottom.
Really? And how big, roughly, would you guess?
Well, when it almost hit us, coming across the highway, this is the strange part. It was coming towards the highway, flying very low over this field. And it went actually over I-10 as it was banking back towards the field. And that's when I caught a full bottom view of it and got the all three of those bright lights right in my face. And then it went right back into the field. passed. I had to say, I hit the brakes in my truck. I thought I was going to hit it. It was that close.
All right, now pause, take a deep breath, and try and tell me again how big this object was.
Judging by the spacing of the lights, there was about 30 feet between the lights, and the object itself wasn't much bigger than its light spread. It was very thin. It made absolutely no noise. I'm an aircraft mechanic. Well,
Sir, I have seen almost exactly what you are describing. Flew right over my head.
Well, this thing almost, I had to hit the brakes so I wouldn't hit it with my truck. It made a 10-foot over the freeway pass as it was turning back towards the field it came from. At which point I slammed on the brakes, pulled off the side of the road. I knew it was at milepost 178 because I happened to park right next to it. And me and my buddy.
How many of you saw this?
Well, me and my friend, and then right afterwards, somebody else we don't know pulled up past our car and pulled off the side of the road, and they got out and they were watching it.
Right.
And so I wasn't the only one. And it is 1 o'clock in the morning. There's hardly anybody on the freeway first place.
To whom have you reported this?
Just my immediate friends and family, and they all believe me, you know, because I don't walk around telling crazy stories.
Oh, I believe you. I'm just suggesting that you should pursue this now and report it.
Okay.
Okay. There are any number of reporting agencies you can go to. So.
Well, I have a theory, and basically, when we were watching this thing, it looked like it was searching for something in that field. It was flying very, very low and slow. And at one point, it looked like about a half a mile out, it landed. About 15 seconds later, it took off almost straight up, made absolutely no sound. Now, I used to be an airplane mechanic.
Right.
I know the sound of props.
Right.
I know the sound of helicopter blades. I know the sound of the quiet military helicopters.
Yes.
I know the sound of engines. There was nothing. I mean, nothing. And I was close to the point where I would have heard this thing.
I had the same experience, sir. Came straight over my head.
And it was the weirdest thing. And at which point it was searching this, we watched it for a good 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it took, after it went straight up, it flew and it was moving pretty quick and then stopped. Started heading back towards right at my van. At which point my friend and I were just standing there looking at
this thing. Maybe at that point it had noticed you were there as witnesses.
Well, I was jumping up and down waving at it, at which point it stopped again.
Really?
Turned around and went the other direction.
I see.
I know it sounds nuts.
I don't know that I would have been waving to it.
Well,
I mean, do you know what? Never mind.
I was at the point of, I've been an astronomer all my life. I love everything astronomical.
All right, listen, sir, I've got to take a quick break. That's a pretty doggone good story. Write it to me in the email and get hold of your friend so you can verify and by all means notify the authorities. And there are any number of notification agencies that I've had on the air here. Many of them will be right back.